Good morning. It is great to be in worship with you this morning. Not all of you may even know this face or recognize it, as I have been away for a while. I think most of you know me. I am Heather Michelson, Joshua's wife. I am also a minister. So I want to welcome you this morning and welcome everybody to at Littlewood Court here this morning. And it is a special Sunday today as we are celebrating the Lord's Supper today. And I have to put on my UK hat and say, Happy Mother's Day too, correct? So Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there and recognizing all the lovely women in this congregation, whether you're our mother or not, because we need each other to grow up in our faith, do we not? So we are excited that you are here today. And at this point, I would love to draw your attention to the intimations in your bulletin. And we are in the Easter holidays, but Easter is not quite here yet, so we do have some more time to prep. And our Holy Week walk is coming up quickly. That is the time that we take the P5s and P6s from our local primary schools, and we actually reenact the first Holy Week, and it's quite fun. And I would encourage some of you, if you have not volunteered for this, you are missing out. The joy of the children is contagious. So if you would like to help that or just watch it, we would love for you to come out for that. The times have been set, so we are doing it Thursday and Wednesday morning and Tuesday afternoon of Holy Week. So if you have any of that time free, we would love for you to volunteer for one of those sessions or come and join us and talk to Kylie or myself after the service if you can do that. And Holy Week for us is coming up too. And so there are different things that we get to do here in Kimney Church for Holy Week. Palm Sunday, we will have the daffodils that we will decorate here. And I think that is going to be coming up here shortly on the 14th. And then also our Good Friday service is coming up on the 19th at 7 p.m. And this year for our Easter service, if you have a grandchild or a child who'd like to decorate a hard-boiled egg, we'd love for them to bring it for our contest. And following the service, we are going to have an Easter egg hunt. The Nesbitts have opened up their garden to us, so that is for the children to participate. But if you would love to come along and have a cuppa, you are welcome. Just go ahead and let, once again, Kylie or myself know if you'd like to. And you could also bring some nibbles for that. So lots of fun things coming on, coming up here at Kimney Parish Church. But I don't know about you, hearing about all of that, and I don't know where you have been this week, but our weeks have so much busyness and so much noise, do they not? And so could we take just one moment of silence to prepare our hearts for worship, for communion today, and to remember that He is Lord and that we are not. So could we take a moment of silence to prepare our hearts for worship today? Lord, thank you that we can worship you in the silence, and we can worship you in the noise, and we can worship you through song. So Lord, this morning we come to praise you. We come to shout aloud that you are the rock of our salvation, our fortress and our deliverer, in whom we take refuge, our shield and our salvation. Amen, amen. Let us continue in worship singing, We Shall Stand. And during the singing of the song, your offering will be lifted up.
We shall stand.
beautiful to make joyful noise together, and it is beautiful to pray together with our brothers and sisters in Christ. So let us bow our heads in prayer. Lord, we come to you full of praise and thanksgiving this morning. We're thankful that we can stand upon you, our rock. Our foundation is secure because of you, our comforter, our shield, our Savior, Redeemer, and King. And today we recognize again that our security also comes from the gifts around us, our biological families, our families that have raised us, and our church family, the body of Christ. Today we celebrate the mothers around us and give thanks for them. At the same time, we recognize that today brings sorrow, grief, and heartache for some. So we stand alongside them in grief today. Today we give you thanks for the body of Christ around us. We thank you for the many gifts around us in this church and in the wider church. And yet we also stand in grief that all throughout church history there's been times when the church has hurt others. And so we stand with those who are in grief today if they've had a brother or sister in Christ hurt them. Lord, we do thank you for the gifts around us. Lord, we thank you most of all for you. None of this would be possible without you, our foundation. And yet, so often we don't build our lives upon you, our foundation. We don't recognize that you are the head, nor do we want to get along with our brothers and sisters in Christ. Instead, there's times that we are selfish, there's times that we're jealous, self-pitying, or perhaps even wanting to be controlling. Lord, we ask that you would hear us now in the silence, the ways that we have fallen short this week, putting ourselves before you or before others around us. Lord, thank you that no matter how many times we fall short, you are there time and again offering grace and offering reconciliation and unity in you. When we run to you, there is no longer Jew nor Gentile, slave nor free. We are all one in you, diverse but united, one body forgiven by your grace, washed by your blood. Lord, fill us anew this morning through the power of your Holy Spirit. And guide us today as we sing praise, as we partake in communion, as we hear your word preached, and as we are sent out. Lord, would you empower us anew today? We pray this in your powerful name, saying together, Amen. It is when we remember that we are forgiven in Christ that our response is joy, our response is thankfulness, and our response is wanting to serve our Lord. So let us together sing, I want to serve you, Lord. Please stand as you are able.
I want. invite the children to come sit up with me. Hi, Annabelle. Good morning. Hi, Rona, Lewis, Finley. Joshua, are you going to come sit? Yep. Okay, can you guys each take a pencil for me? Perfect. Take a pencil. Excellent. There you go. Let's pass out paper to... Here you go, Lewis. Joshua. Rona. Okay. Now, which hand did you put the pencil in?
Right.
Your right hand. Did anybody put it in their left hand? No. You did? That's your right hand, Lewis. Do any of you guys hold your pencil with your left hand? Nobody here? Turin does. Excellent. Okay, so out of all of us, there's one person who uses their left hand. Now, when we write our names, can we all write our names? Joshua, do you want me to help you? Okay, you can help me write my name. Yeah? Okay, how about we write, I'm going to use your pencil. We'll all write our names. Okay, can we hold them up when you're all done?
Okay. I need to write it bigger.
Well, that's okay, because I wrote it pretty big, right? Can everybody read my name? Well, kind of, if you have really good handwriting eyesight. Now, Rona, you hold up your name, your little name, or you can write it big. Annabelle, do you want to hold yours up? Can anybody read Annabelle's? Right. So we all have different abilities or how big we've written our names based on, Lewis, yours is nice and big. Good job. Based on how we do our handwriting. And if one of us had written in our left hands, this would have been really good. But shall we write in our left hands now our names? We'll see how hard it is. Lewis, do you want to try it with your left hand?
Do an X.
You can do that? An X? Is this an X? It looks kind of like an X, doesn't it? I probably wrote it pretty badly. It's a Y. But it's in my left hand. Okay. There we go. Was it harder with your left hand? Yeah? Yeah? I think it was harder with my left hand. My left hand can't really do what my right hand can do. Can you guys' left hands do what your right hands can do? Not really, right? And I have another question for you. Do you think you could grip your pencil with your toes?
I can.
You can?
Yeah.
Really? Okay, I would ask you to show us, but maybe not. So our right hand can write really, really well, right? And our left hand can do it, but not very well. And our feet probably definitely can't write our name, right? So we all have different parts of our bodies that do different things and do it differently and in different abilities. Kind of like, have you guys ever heard the passage in the Bible where Paul talks about how we are all different parts of the same body? Does that sound familiar? Rona, you get to help me read it later on.
Yeah, it does say that.
It does say that. And we all have different abilities that we get to help other people with. Maybe some of us are really good at listening to people. Maybe some of us are really good at making people laugh and being funny. And we all have these different abilities that help other people to either experience God or to feel like they're loved and accepted. And so all of us have different roles that we play, not only in the church, but in the wider world that helps serve God. Does that make sense? Yeah? Okay, so really good job writing your names with your left hand and your right hand. Can we pray before we head off and do the rest of the service? Can you all repeat after me? Yeah? Can all of us repeat after me? Dear Lord, thank you for giving us different abilities. Help us serve you with all our hearts. We love you, Lord. Amen. Excellent. And today, we don't have explorers, but we do have your worship bags. And they're in that closet right back there. And Heather and I got some really cool different things for you in your bags, okay? One of them is like a water pen that you can color with. It's super cool. If it doesn't come out all at once, you might have to shake it a little bit. And then it'll work, okay? Excellent. You guys can go sit back with your parents. I'll take your pencils, and if you want to keep your paper, you can do that. Perfect. You want to keep your paper? Okay. You can carry that back to your mom. You keep it. Excellent. And now let us stand and sing our next song, Be Bold, Be Strong.
Be strong.
Differently this morning. So Nell, Paul, and Rona are going to come up and help us read our scripture. And at the very end, there will be a slide that gets placed up on the screen, and we'll all read it together. You can all just share the lectern mic.
Can you, the mic?
Yep.
Hi.
Perfect.
Letter. Now, about the spiritual gifts, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be ignorant. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all people.
All kinds of gifts are handed out by the Spirit. And to all kinds of people, the variety is wonderful.
Wise counsel, clear understanding, simple trust, healing the sick, miraculous acts, proclamation, distinguishing between spirits, tongues, or interpretation of tongues, just to name a few.
You can easily see how this works out in a human body. We have many parts, limbs, organs, cells, but we are still one body. So it is with Christ. By means of one Spirit, we all said goodbye to our partial and piecemeal lives, but now we have entered into a large and integrated life in which God has the final say in everything. Yes, the body is not just one big part, but as many different parts, all functioning together.
If the foot said, because I'm not elegant like a hand, I don't belong to the body, would that make the foot stop being part of the body?
If an ear said, I am not beautiful like an eye, I don't belong to the body, would you want to remove it from the body? If the body was all eye, how could you hear? If all ear, how would you smell?
As it is, we see that God has carefully placed each part of the body right where he wanted it.
The eye can never say to the hand, I don't need you. The head can never say to the feet, I don't need you.
If one part suffers, all the parts suffer. And if one part is honored, all the parts are glad. All of you together are Christ's body, and each of you is a part of it. And God has appointed so many people to do his work.
First, apostles. Second, prophets. Third, teachers. Then those who do miracles. Those who can heal. Those who can help others. Those who have gifts of leadership. Those who speak in unknown language.
Are we all apostles? Are we all prophets? Are we all teachers?
Do we all have power to do miracles? Do we all have the gift of healing? Do we all have the ability to speak in unknown languages? Do we all have the ability to interpret unknown languages? Of course not. So we should all earnestly desire the most helpful gifts.
Let us all proclaim the final line. You can read it from the screen. All together.
For we are all the body of Christ, with different gifts to build up God's kingdom.
Thank you for reading. What a joy it is to have so many different voices reading one passage together. May we now all stand and sing Rejoice, Rejoice in response to the scripture reading.
Thank you.
Let us bow our heads in prayer. Lord, thank you for this time together this morning to worship you, to grow in our faith, and to learn more about you. Please bless the rest of our time together. Amen. Imagine you're in an orchestra pit. There are rows and rows of musicians all getting ready. The violinists are tuning their instruments. Tuba players are draining their spit valves. Celloists are positioning their hulking instruments. And you're caught up in the thrall of preparing to perform. But you also know what your place in the orchestra is, what instruments and what notes are expected of you. When N.T. Wright, a theologian down at St. Andrews, shares his own experience of playing in an orchestra, he comments on the roles within the group. He says, "I quickly discovered there are class distinctions within an orchestra. The strings consider themselves superior to all others. They are the senior section. They carry the tune in many classical works. Within the strings, the violins consider themselves superior. Ask anyone who plays the viola or double bass. But within the wind section, too, there are distinctions. The flutes and oboes consider themselves superior to the brass. And within the brass, the trumpets definitely regard themselves as superior to trombones. The only form of animal life lower than a trombone, it seemed to Wright then, was the tuba, triangle, and timpani." All of this is normally meant to be in good fun, but it does create a strange hierarchy among musicians. Of course, there are sudden moments when everybody depends on instruments that are normally looked down on. You can't start Mozart's opera, The Magic Flutes, unless the trombones are on good form. And you couldn't think of playing Dvorak's The New World Symphony unless you had first-class cor anglais player. Sooner or later, as you work your way through the repertoire, the instruments have to acknowledge that they all need each other if the music is to be complete. As Wright points out, every instrument in an orchestra, whether it's the big-time violin or the more in-the-background trombone, has a specific part to play in a piece of music. If there was no cello, there would be no deep, rich bass line. If there was not the cymbal, there would be no great crashing crescendo. But each individual instrument is playing as part of a larger group to create a full, rich piece of music. And so it is with the body of Christ. We read today probably one of the most well-known passages of Scripture. But maybe we've heard something different as Nell, Paul, and Rona performed. Each of them read in a different voice. They each have different life experiences and abilities. Maybe their differences helped us realize something new about an age-old passage. But they're all also fellow members of the same church body we are. Their role in reading this morning helped the whole church community. So there seems to be a command then to lean into the diversity of our unified church body. But where does this command come from? When I first looked at this passage, I was struck by how the Apostle Paul describes God. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all people. All three persons of the Trinity are mentioned. All three persons have different roles in working out spiritual giftings in our lives. But we also know that all three persons are one. So we see in the Godhead himself that there is a diversity of roles in a unified body, in a unified person. God himself is a diverse person, acting as Father, Son, and Spirit, with all that those roles entail. So because we believe in a Trinity, three persons in one, We affirm God's identity as being inherently diverse within his unified person. The call for diversity within unity, then, has its roots and foundations in the diversity of unity in God. God doesn't just command us to be a diverse body because it seems like a good idea, a common sense one even, but he commands us to lean into and fully appreciate the diversity of our church body because he himself is a diverse and unified body. Our whole identity as individuals and as a church is rooted in who God is, a diverse and unified whole. We've heard this mandate for diversity within our unified church body. How do we live it out? Maybe you heard your own gifts reflected in the reading this morning. Maybe you're a gifted teacher. Maybe you can compassionately help others. Maybe you have gifts of leadership, gifts of resolute faith. If you didn't hear something that resonated with you, though, that's okay. Paul didn't write an exhaustive list. There's plenty of room for many more gifts, such as providing meals and places for community to grow, working behind the scenes to keep things running effectively, caring for and supporting others. All of these gifts are necessary and needed. As Nell read from the Message version of the Bible, we entered into a large and integrated life when we decided to follow the Lord. And this large and integrated life doesn't force a hierarchy on gifts. One gift is not more important than the next. Rona so ably showed us that the hand doesn't stop being a hand or part of the body just because it's not a foot. The eye can't say to the foot, "I don't need you." I think we sometimes feel that if we don't get up and speak in front of the church, or if we're not an elder or on planning boards, or we don't do visible roles in the church, we sometimes think our gifts are not as important. But when we make judgments on the usefulness of one gift over another, we're making judgments on God's involvement and calling on people's lives, maybe even our own lives. God has gifted each person with ways they contribute and participate in the kingdom of God. Sometimes they're gifts that put us in the spotlight. Sometimes they're gifts that mean we're in the background. But each is important and needed. This passage says that our perceptions of who is and who is not as important are just not true. It doesn't matter if we haven't been gifts to teach or lead worship. It doesn't matter if we haven't been given gifts to lead different boards or groups. What does matter is identifying who God has called us to be, what part of the larger body he has created us to become. And once we know what gifts God has given us, we are called to live in a unified body, working together to support one another, encourage one another, challenge one another, and to reach out to others. Just like how an orchestra acknowledges the importance of even the smallest instrument when it is their time to shine, we too must acknowledge the significance of the less obvious giftings. All of us share an equal importance of giftings in the kingdom of God. And there is one place we see this inherent equality most vividly. At the Lord's table this morning, we are all called to the same table. We all have a place. We are called not because we deserve it or because we're good enough, but because we are children of God, no one better than the other. At the table is a level playing field, where each and every one of us reaffirms our faith in the one God and reaffirms our own commitment to be one body. Communion is the great coming together of all the members of the body, made even more poignant when we eat and drink of Christ's body and blood. It is a moment of utmost unity as a church in Kemne, as part of the wider body of Christ around the world, and as an affirmation of our participation in the ministry Jesus began in his own body. I've said the word body quite a bit in the last couple minutes, but I hope we have come to know that our individual roles, whatever gifts and abilities we have been given, are a part of something so much bigger than just us, so much bigger than just our church, and even so much bigger than the whole of the Christian church. We get to live out a mission of diversity and unity, just as our God does. God, who is all at once Father, Son, and Spirit, brings us into a life that has many different avenues for participating in his kingdom work. May we begin to see how our own lives fit into God's big kingdom picture, and may we as a church commit to serving and following Christ as a unified whole. Amen. As the band gets ready to play our song, let us reflect on this reading from Scripture as we sing, "We are one in the Spirit."
We come to this table today as Christians, known by love, but sometimes not love. Sometimes we make mistakes, yet we still can come to this table. We come out of weakness, knowing we need more from Christ. We come out of our uniqueness, coming to this table, knowing it is Christ that brings us together. I notice we have some children here, and so it seems apt that I even want to show them the bread and the cup. This is something also, I'm just going to do a visual here because we have kids here. We don't always take time to show the kids the elements of what this is, that there's a special meal coming up. And you know what this meal is? Can you guys see what it is? Any idea what it is? Yeah, it's like the Last Supper, and it's bread and it's juice, and we celebrate together saying that we love Jesus. And so when you talk with your moms and dads, and if you ever want to talk to Reverend Michelson, Joshua, my husband, or myself, this is a meal that you can partake in if you're ready to say that you love Jesus too. So that's a decision that you guys get to make with your parents or with your minister. But the table is open to all. That's the amazingness, that a child can come to the table. And if a child can come to the table, cannot we all come out of our weakness, knowing that we need the Lord? So when we come to this table, we come declaring that we love Jesus. This table does not belong to Kemnay Parish Church. It does not belong to the Church of Scotland. It doesn't belong to the elders or even just adults. It is the table that we gather together, belonging to Jesus, declaring that we are loved by him. At Kemnay Parish Church, I think many of us have been here before, but it will be the elders that will come up, and they will bring the bread for you. We'll hold it, and then we'll take it all together to symbolize that while we are diverse, we are united as one. And a few other elders will come forward, and they will pass out the cup, and we will hold on to it. And once again, taking it all together, remembering that we are diverse, but that we are united in Christ. So that is how we will do things this morning. I am not Joshua. I'm Heather. I'm different. I'm unique. So it may look a wee bit different this morning, but hopefully it will be a joyous meal that we will partake in. Joshua often reads out words at the beginning, and he said them last week. Kylie referred to them even in her sermon, and I thought it would be special for us to say them together. And so I will declare words out to you, such as, come to this table, not because we must. And then you will respond, and the words will be, I think we got them at the bottom of the screen. If we go to the next slide, is it there? If we keep going, we're finding it. If not, I will read it out. It was there last I looked. Ah, there we go. So you'll see how my line is going to be on the top, and your line is going to be at the bottom. And we're going to go through this, and we'll do this several times. And so let us prepare our hearts and our minds to receive the Lord's Supper. Come to this table not because we must,
but because we
not because we are strong, come, not because of any goodness of our own gives us the right.
But because we need mercy and help.
Come because we love the Lord a little.
And we like to love him more.
Come because he loves us.
And gave himself for us.
Come and meet the risen Christ.
For we are his body.
Let us pray together. And I will end with the Lord's Prayer. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you that we can come as we are to this table. Lord, we do confess so often we think that we are not worthy enough to come to this table. And so today we declare again, yes, we are not worthy, but we come because of your strength. You are the one that makes us able to come. Lord, we come to this table confessing we often look at our brothers and sisters in Christ and think, I want to be more like them. Or judging ourselves, saying, I wish I had this gift or I didn't have this gift. Forgive us for that. Forgive us the ways that the broader church has not always brought together brothers and sisters in Christ of different nationalities, different races, of different economic status together, Lord. Forgive us, for this is a table for all. And so, Lord, once again, we give our lives to you, praying to you, saying together the prayer that you taught your disciples to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory of We have a special spot that we're going to this morning that I think means even more in this sermon series. For we are going to go to the words of institution that so often that we hear once a month, forgetting that they're grounded in a text, in a story that we've been learning about in 1 Corinthians. And as we heard last week, it's not a teaching, it's not an instruction, it's a reminder of what God has done for us. So hear these words of Holy Scripture which were declared by Jesus. And once again, Paul reminded a community that was in division to come together and to be united through these words. And so hear the words of the Lord again. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it. And he said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This is the cup of my new covenant. Whenever you drink this, you do it in remembrance of me." Let us pray together. Lord, we have so much to give thanks for what you did for us. So as we partake in this meal together, may it be a meal of thanksgiving, a meal of remembering, and a meal of uniting with you and with each other. And so we declare the words that we're familiar with, and if we're not, they will be on the screen, declaring the great words of praise. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Amen. Amen. Brothers and sisters in Christ, these are the gifts of God for the people of God. They are free to be received. And so with that, may we come forward with a joyful heart to partake in, first starting with the bread. May the ushers please come forward at this time.
Share in this bread of life, and we drink.
Just take one moment of silence to give thanks for what Christ did through the action on the cross of giving his body for us. And now take, eat. This is the body of Christ, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of him. In the same way, Christ offered his blood for us. And now may the elders please come forward as we partake in the cup, holding it until we take it all together. Take one moment of silence to give thanks for what Christ did on the cross, shedding his blood for us. This cup is a new covenant of the blood of Christ, which is shed for the sins of everyone. Take and drink from it, all of you. It is through Christ's actions on the cross and resurrection again that we are united together through our diversity, that we become one. And as brothers and sisters in Christ, we get to share peace with one another. And so that is why we practice this in our liturgical blessing of passing the peace to a brother or sister in Christ. So seek out someone you know by name and perhaps someone that you do not, to declare peace of Christ be with you. Let us stand together and greet our neighbors around us. Worship through prayer.
Let us pray our prayers for the world and other people. Let us pray. On this Mothering Sunday, we remember and give thanks for all mothers. Thank you, Lord, for their caring touch, selflessness, and unconditional love. We ask you to be with all mothers of the world to guide them, keep them strong, and be able to teach their children to follow your loving example. We pray for the world, and join with the World Council of Churches this week to pray for the Balkans. We pray that they continue on their path of peace and reconciliation to heal their ethnic and religious divisions. We pray for peace and the end to wars, especially in Yemen, Congo, Palestine and Kurdistan, and Syria. May the world's governments put aside their politics and be led to peaceful solutions for the disagreements and injustices in the world. Lord, hear our prayer for the world church, that all may worship you without persecution. We pray especially for Christians in North Korea, Nigeria, and Pakistan. May the Holy Spirit flow into the hearts of their persecutors to bring our brothers and sisters in Christ freedom from violence and discrimination. We pray for our own country and those in position of authority. May you give clarity of thought to the decision makers. We pray for all in Parliament as they represent their communities. Give them your truth, Lord, and clarity of thought as they work to practically apply Britain's exit from Europe. We pray for our own church and for strength in body and spirit of our leaders, Joshua, Heather, and Kylie. We pray for all who volunteer in the running of our church, and may they know they are loved and appreciated by us all. We pray for the weak and vulnerable, particularly those who are not well, in pain or grieving. We ask that you make yourself known to them and give them peace, hope, and comfort. Let us pause for a while to think of our own friends and families. Let us bring our prayers to you in another moment of silence. Father, we thank and praise you that we are bound together in Jesus Christ and with all those who love and serve you. As we are blessed by the prayers of others, so may our blessings in our silence be a blessing to your whole world. Lead us in our lives this week and be close to us during this time of Lent in learning and preparation for Easter. We offer these prayers in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Saviour. Amen.
Thank you, Ruth, for reminding us that when we receive this peace and unity in Christ, we are not meant to just keep it within these walls. Symbolically, these doors are going to open and we are going to go out, and that is our call, to go out sharing the love of Christ with others and sharing that peace and sharing that unity. And so may we say yes to that call as we sing together, I, the Lord of sea and sky. Please stand as you are able.
I'm the Lord of sea and sky. I have heard my people cry. All who dwell in darkness sin, I have to save.
go forward today knowing that you are called and that you are gifted. Go forward today with confidence if God has called you to be an elbow or a toe, to go forward serving the Lord faithfully, not being jealous of the other gift, but being proud of what the Lord has given to you. And go forward working together in unity. And so may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. And the Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace.
Amen. Amen.